Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Wealth advisor at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highway 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park, and in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Emily Mattson with First Weber Realty. And today we're going to be talking about the spring housing market. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So tell us, how did you get started in this area?
So it's actually interesting. As a young kid, I always had a passion for housing. I was always on Realtor.com or watching HGTV in middle school and high school. And then when I went off to college, I started in architecture and urban planning, sort of a real estate related field. Quickly realized I didn't want to go to school for 7 years to become an architect, so I switched to business and real estate. And it just so happened that I was going to an open house with my mom on a weekend. She was looking for a new home in Ozaukee County, and we went to this new condo development. And we were asking questions about building and picking finishes. And the developer said, you know, you seem like you're really interested in real estate. Would you ever consider getting licensed? Because I need someone to hold open houses on weekends at our new development. And I thought that's the perfect job for a college kid. 12 to 4, right? Saturdays and Sundays.
Perfect hours.
Doesn't interfere with social schedules and school. So he paid for me to get my license, and that's really how I got started. And the rest is kind of history. I graduated and then ended up working for First Weber as soon as I graduated college. So it's been my career my whole adult life. I've been doing it 15 years now at First Weber, and it's an amazing career. I think it has brought me more than I expected it to, being able to help people with the American dream, right, of homeownership is invaluable. And of course, there's always twists and turns when people are transacting in real estate. It's often emotional, right? They're going through some happy time in their life, or oftentimes something really sad and hard.
That's true.
So we're not just realtors, we're, you know, therapists and friends, and that makes our clients become like family. So it's a really great career.
Yeah, I'm sure. What were the challenges getting started in the real estate industry at such a young age? I'm sure there had been a lot of challenges and obstacles. Tell me about some of them.
Yeah. Well, I think with any career, right, when you're young, you maybe aren't always trusted because you're not known as an expert.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't have a lot of experience. It was helpful for me that I got started with an existing agent in the business. She had been in the business 20 years, so she had a lot of experience behind her. That helped grow my confidence and obviously my knowledge base. So it became a lot easier, you know, once I got more transactions under my feet. Other challenges, just that the market, the industry is saturated, right?
Right.
And you really have to kind of work hard at building your network and your clientele. And that takes time and patience and dedication and hustle. So, you know, like with any career, right? You have,
right.
You put in, you get out what you put in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just takes time.
Right. And I know one of your strengths is you just get back to clients so quickly. And I think that's kind of the key. And so much of this real estate game is just being responsive, because everything is moving so quickly. So, and it's so smart too, to line up with another veteran realtor to kind of get you the lay of the land. And that can just, give you the knowledge that you didn't have at that time. So what a great opportunity.
Yeah, thanks. She called it baptism by fire. She threw us to the wolves, made us figure it out. And now that I look back on it, since it was 15 years ago, it seems crazy that we did that, but it all works out.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I know it looks like you're really enjoying it. What factors motivate you to stay in this career? There's been a lot of significant headwinds we've been hearing about real estate. Not that we have to address them necessarily today, but what keeps you motivated to stay in the career?
It's a good question. As I mentioned before, you know, helping that first-time buyer purchase their house when they maybe didn't know that they could. Perhaps they're the first person in their family to own a house. That is so rewarding to kind of walk somebody through the steps of preparing to buy, actively looking to buy, and then getting an accepted offer and helping them get to that closing table. There's no better feeling in the world, in my opinion. Also, as I mentioned earlier, it's always an emotional time, typically. Yeah. And to be their trusted advisor, their confidant, to help hold their hand, to tell them it's going to be okay, we're going to get through this, that gives me great pride. And of course, it's never easy. It's a roller coaster. The market is always changing. As you said, there's lots of headwinds in the media. But I think just the client connection, the building of relationships is what brings us back every day. I also have an incredible team, so I don't carry the burden of the workload every day. They're always working hard and are as committed as I am to our clients and our job. So that makes it fun just to have great people to work with.
Definitely. And as a wealth advisor here, I spent many, before my career here at Ellen Becker, I spent many years in real estate and financing. And you're right, it is so rewarding when you look at first-time home buyer in the eyes and they've got the keys. That this is something that they've been looking for and working towards for sometimes many, many years. Mm-hmm. And I know one thing that your team does well is you make the complex very, very simple. And just lay it out in a step-by-step process. And I've seen that firsthand, and I've always trusted my clients with you guys in the past. So I'm always been really impressed at your team and how well you guys all work together too. Not only do you work together really well, but you guys play hard together.
Thanks.
I've seen some of your Facebook
yeah,
posts.
Yeah, well, work hard,
like,
play
I
hard.
I want to join the team.
Yeah, we try to get time out of the office to have fun because you can't always be working, right? It is stressful.
Yeah.
So we try to add fun and get together and socialize.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
We'll be back after a short break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Tammy Neiman, wealth advisor here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And again, my guest is Emily Mattson with First Weber. And we are talking about the spring housing market. So let's discuss the current market landscape. Emily, what's it looking like out there?
Well, there's plenty of media attention about the real estate industry.
Yes,
so you may have seen things online. I'll kind of break it down on what we're seeing here in Southeast Wisconsin, more local to our marketplace. As with most industries, right, we were greatly impacted by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the shutdown, right, that impacted people's ability or desire to buy and sell. Also, what it did is it created sort of this pent-up demand. So in the period that we were shut down, people weren't doing very much. There was maybe some fear about buying or selling during that time. And then as things kind of started to open up, we saw this rush of buyers into the marketplace. And that kind of created this frenzy that we've had in the last, I would say, 4 years since COVID in the market. So what we're seeing is extremely low inventory, right? Mm-hmm. Not enough homes for sale on the market, not enough supply. Coupled with that, since COVID, we had extremely low interest rates, right? Talking 2%, 3%, 4% interest rates. So people felt like it was a great time to buy, which caused a lot of the frenzy, a lot of competitiveness in the market. Prices accelerated at an extremely high rate. When you're looking historically at where things appreciate year over year in terms of real estate, the last few years have significantly been higher than that. And then what has happened most recently, I would say since, let's call it the beginning of 2023, so about a year ago, interest rates started to creep up. So we got to 6%, and then we got to 7%, and by the fall we were at 8%. And what that did is it squeezed some buyers out of the market, right, because housing becomes less affordable the higher the interest rates are. And so they may not be able to purchase what they thought they could previously when rates were lower. Also, it creates this scenario where many sellers have a home right now with an interest rate that's under 4% because they either bought when rates were like that or they refinanced. And so those people have a harder time justifying giving up their current interest rate to buy something new because there's such a huge gap in what they have and what the rates are at. So that has kind of created, I wouldn't say a standstill, but a much tighter market in the last 12 months where we really have little inventory. And there are still buyers waiting to purchase things. And oftentimes it's taking 3, 6, 9, 12 months for you to find something. So just a really tight market. It's right. Maybe I'm explaining it and it sounds scary, and it's not. It's just more challenging.
Yeah, I know we have a lot of clients here at EIG that would love to downsize. And for the same reasons that you just mentioned, it's been a bit difficult to do that because of the interest rate environment. And, you know, they're a little afraid of giving up their home and not being able to find a new one because of the lower inventory. So it's definitely some headwinds that the industry is experiencing.
Yeah. And if you own a current home and you're thinking about selling, obviously it's a great time to sell, right? Because you have little to no competition. In fact, in the last 30 days, I've been at the kitchen table of many sellers who are considering selling. And when I show up and I bring comparables to say, here's what the market is doing, I can tell you honestly that in Southeast Wisconsin, there's between 0 and 10 houses for sale in any given community.
Wow.
And that is so low. And a lot of those 0 to 10 houses have accepted offers, right? So there's really not that much available for buyers, which is why it is a good time to sell. But again, if you need to buy, it's a little trickier. And it's hard to give up what you have if you don't know where you're going.
Right.
And that's where, you know, it takes our expertise and skill to kind of help you navigate that. We have people all the time that are selling and buying. It just takes a little more time, creativity, flexibility to make that happen.
Yeah, that makes sense. What are you seeing in, what are you predicting, I should say, for the market outlook for 2024? When do you think that the market kind of begins to loosen up or unravel just a little bit so that we can get, because I think some of what you're saying here is that if there's just not enough inventory, prices are continuing to go up. So that's why we're seeing incredible inflation within the real estate community is because there's so much pressure on prices because there's such little inventory.
Yep.
So I think you brought up a really great point when you talked about regionally Southeastern Wisconsin, because you can read these headlines and other communities like the coastal communities, Arizona, Florida, completely different markets than what we have here. So I love that you brought that up. So in Southeastern Wisconsin, give me a snapshot of what is the real estate community thinking about for the outlook for 2024, maybe going into 2025? I don't know if you can go out that long or not.
Yeah. Well, if I only had a crystal ball, right?
Oh, I know. We could use it here every day.
Yeah, right. That would be amazing. Well, I do read a lot of the headlines. The National Association of Realtors puts out a lot of data. Obviously, there's lots of real estate economists who are predicting and wealth advisors who have predictions. What I think we're going to see, and we have already seen this a little bit, rates have come down a tad from their height in the fall where they were around or over 8%. They were most recently in high sixes, which felt like a great relief from 8%. I think they're back up into the probably low sevens right now. But hopefully interest rates will continue to decline this year. And I don't think it's going to be significant, but maybe, you know, towards the 6%, 5% would be amazing, but that might not happen until next year. If interest rates ease, right, that typically floods more buyers into the market. It also will create some inventory relief, hopefully, because some sellers will be willing to give up their, you know, give up their current rate, which may be much lower than what they're at now, to sell and then buy something else, or perhaps they sell and don't buy something else. So I think, hopefully, we will see a little bit more inventory as rates decrease. That also does add buyers into the market, though, so demand would then increase. I'm not expecting that prices will go down. People keep asking us.
You know, that's something I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's something I hear a lot of times is I'm just sitting on the sidelines. I'm just waiting for the prices to go down. So, yeah, if interest rates go down, that's going to flood the market with more buyers.
Correct.
So there would be, again, that pressure on prices to go up a little bit.
You would expect that that's what would occur, right? If we see a decrease in interest rates, we see an increase in buyer demand. If we don't have enough inventory to satisfy the buyer demand, then, in essence, prices go up. Also, it creates a much more competitive environment to where we're seeing multiple offers on properties, offers with little to no contingencies. You know, and we were at a really, really competitive market in 2022 into 2023. And you know, I haven't seen that kind of competitiveness recently. Mm-hmm. However, the houses that are hitting the market this spring in many of our communities, Franklin, Mequon, Waukesha County, even downtown Milwaukee, they're getting multiple offers right now. You know, it might only be two or three, but it's still multiple offers. And I am hearing of some that are getting, you know, 10 to 15. I actually had have a deal going on with an agent at another brokerage right now, and she was venting to me on Monday night about how late she was working because her listing had 17 offers.
17 offers.
And the price was in the 600,000s. So, you know.
It's all price ranges.
Yeah, all price ranges. And we're going to see that because there's such little inventory.
Right. And we're kind of looking at interest rates. I think if we, in December, I think we were a lot more optimistic that the interest rates were going to fall a little deeper, a little quicker. And now some of the indices shows that maybe the interest rates are going to be higher for longer. Maybe we're not going to see those four interest rate cuts, which we're clearly not. Maybe it'll be two interest rate cuts. So I think it's kind of nice, perhaps, that if the interest rates do go down, it'll be a little slower. So we're not going to get that rush of buyers, potentially, that would put such high pressure on those prices. But at the same respect, if we look historically at interest rates, these interest rates are really in line and are really great. But the problem is that we have that recent memory of 2% and 3%. Right. And that's really difficult.
Yeah.
That memory as well as that experience when you're holding that mortgage.
And that's
kind of what is just bottlenecking everything right now.
Yeah. One other thing I'd like to add, because we, like you do, have clients who say, we're going to wait to buy until prices come down.
Right.
I don't anticipate prices are coming down. I mean, of course, there can be some, you know, global event or national event that occurs like COVID that, you know, messes with the economy. But what I always tell people is if you have a need to buy or sell a house, right, you act on that need. You evaluate your options, determine if it's the right time for you to do that, and then you find someone you trust to help you accomplish that goal. And waiting for prices to come down, I don't think is realistic. You could wait till interest rates come down, but the caveat to that is that if you wait, you know, 12, 24, 36 months until rates are below 7%, the price of the house you're going to buy might be higher. So a lot of times, if you can afford to purchase now, right, with where prices are, where interest rates are, make the purchase if it makes sense and you find the right property, and you can deal with the interest rate later, right? You can always refinance. You can, you know, things happen. So I think it's an individual consideration that you have to make when you're deciding if now is the right time to buy or sell. You know, people always say, are there good deals right now? Well, that's all relative, right?
True.
You know, are people buying real estate for great savings right now? No, they're not, because the inventory is so tight. But it doesn't mean you're making a bad purchase. In fact, people that bought in 2020 and 2021 have already seen significant increases in their property values.
Right.
Right. A lot of those people are coming to us now and saying, I'll sell. Like, find me something else.
Yeah. And historically, if I'm correct, and you can tell me if I'm correct, I think historically we can anticipate between 3 to 5% appreciation on a home in southeastern Wisconsin.
Yep.
Now, some years it's been significantly more, some it's been little less, but 3 to 5% is typically the annual return of appreciation on homes, if I'm correct.
You're right. Yep.
So yeah, waiting around for that lower interest rate or that lower price, you're giving up all of that gain, all of that appreciation. So I like what you said. If it fits your family, now's the right time to buy.
Right.
That makes sense.
One other thing I'd like to add. So as a service to our clients, obviously once they buy or sell a house with us, they become, we hope, lifelong clients of ours. And we like to continue providing them great service. So one thing we do is at least once a year, we reach out to them and say, would you like a current update on the valuation of your home?
Right.
And we typically send that out in like January, February. A lot of times people are doing taxes and business planning with their financial advisors at that time. And I think that's really helpful to kind of take a pulse on what is the value of your asset at this time. Because that helps you just be empowered to make decisions, whether or not it's to sell the asset. You know, that's not the point. But it might give you the ability to realize that you can pull some equity out and do something else with it, right? Improve the house, buy a second home. You know, maybe you have kiddos going to college and you need to use that money in a different way. So I think it's good to always have a finger on the pulse of what your real estate holdings are worth.
Yeah, absolutely. A home is a great instrument to leverage debt against. So, and probably one of the easiest and least expensive way to leverage debt. So it's always nice to know how much equity you have in your home.
Yep.
Pay attention to what your neighbors are selling their homes for, right?
Yep, yep. I know everyone wants to always size their house up to their neighbor's home.
Of course. That being said, the challenges and obstacles of the current market, I think we've kind of discussed a lot of that. Is there any keys that you can tell us that would make a buyer more successful in this market than if they'd employed these keys?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're thinking about buying, right, there's no better time to start figuring out what that looks like, right? So if you're not thinking about buying for 6 or 12 or even more than that, get in touch with a professional, right? A realtor who can kind of guide you through what the market looks like, what your options are, because the market is super fast paced, right? So if you want to buy a house next month, it's probably not a good time to talk to me now today about purchasing next month, right? It doesn't give you enough time to feel comfortable about what we're talking about what we're seeing. So just give yourself enough time to become educated about the market so that when you're ready to jump in and actually commit and start seeing houses and make a purchase, you don't have that buyer's remorse that people talk about, right? That you're really confident in your decision and you've taken time to think through it. Because when you're actively in the market, you really do need to be making quick, fast-paced decisions.
Yeah, that's a really good point. More about that when we return. We're going to take a quick short break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Tammy Neiman, wealth advisor here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. Today, again, I have Emily Mattson with First Weber, and we're discussing the spring housing market. So, Emily, we were just talking about some of the challenges and the obstacles of the market and what we can do to best prepare. I love that. Do your homework before, because once you engage in the real estate market, you're going to have to make some quick decisions. And
yeah.
And that can be a little tough. Sometimes I want to think about even buying a large screen TV overnight, sleep on it.
Yeah.
But in this real estate market with 17 offers, you may not have that luxury. So you really need to kind of do that homework before you jump into the market. So I think that was a really, really good point that you made before break.
And I just want to say, a lot of times real estate is the biggest investment somebody will ever make. It's not like going to Nordstrom's and picking out a pair of shoes, right? We can do that easily,
right,
no problem.
Right.
Not give it a second thought. But buying real estate is totally different, right?
Yes.
You don't want to regret what you did. You want to be smart with your money and where you're purchasing and make sure it makes sense. So giving yourself enough time is crucial.
Right. And it really adds to the quality of life too. It's a fantastic investment, sure. But it just that quality of life of just owning a home. I just had this recent life experience where we actually sold our house faster than we expected. And we got such a fantastic offer, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
It was all cash, no contingencies. We just had to close quick. And we weren't anticipating that. So we ended up having to take a short stay in an apartment for about 3 to 4 months before our house was finished. And boy, I tell you, I haven't had that life experience in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I all of a sudden had this fresh perspective of our first-time home buyers getting into that home, how fabulous it feels to get into a house that is your own and you can control and you can paint and you can move and you don't have the neighbors. And
yep.
So it's really
a greater appreciation.
It's such a needed thing. So
I tell my husband that's why we have to buy and sell real estate every 2 to 4 years so that I can be in line with what my clients are feeling.
Yeah, so true. I know. And it, there's a lot to it. The moving process definitely is
Not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, it interrupts every aspect of your life for sure.
Right.
But so talking about that, how do we best prepare to buy or sell?
Yep. So this is the first step I would take. And of course I'm biased because I'm a real estate agent, but I strongly believe that the best first step is to get in touch with a real estate agent. And if it's not us, of course we'd love it to be. This is what I do when I need a resource, right? When I need a insurance agent, financial advisor, a new doctor, I go to the people that I like and trust,
right?
And ask them for their experiences. So go to somebody in your sphere of influence, your family, your friends, your coworkers. Ask them if they've bought or sold recently and what they thought of their realtor. Not everyone's a perfect fit for everyone, right?
Right.
So maybe get 2 or 3 names, make a few phone calls, contact those people and kind of feel out if you feel like they'd be a good fit. Once you find a realtor, most of us, create some kind of process where we call it a home buyer or home seller counseling.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a very thorough guide that we go through. We love to meet you in person. You know, it can be very casual at a coffee shop or at your home if you're an existing homeowner. And we really go through kind of all the details, of course, providing details about us, our brokerage, and then the home buying or selling process. And typically, after we have that meeting, which is usually only an hour, hour and a half, the consumer feels a lot of confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've answered a lot of their questions about the process and about, you know, what they can expect. So getting that just initial knowledge about what you're about to jump into, being able to ask any questions you have, and then taking some time to think through if it's the right decision to move forward is the first step that I would take. And then if you decide to proceed forward, your realtor will typically recommend any other contractors you would need to pull into the process. So obviously if you're buying, getting pre-approved is critical. I always tell people that just because you're pre-approved for some dollar amount doesn't necessarily mean you're comfortable spending that,
true.
Right?
Very
you have
true.
To be comfortable with what that monthly payment looks like. So kind of evaluating that, working with your lender or mortgage consultant to determine what makes sense for you. And then once you've decided that, really starting to jump into the market if the timing makes sense. I do tell people in this market, it can take longer than you expect, just given the tightness of the inventory. And so starting sooner than you think is probably a good idea. Now you always risk that you're gonna find the perfect house and we're gonna get an accepted offer on the first deal. And it might be sooner than you wanted. Maybe your apartment isn't, your lease isn't up until summer or something. But usually it always works out. So really get in touch with a realtor, somebody who can advise you on the market.
Mm-hmm.
You can then make a decision if it's the right time for you to, you know, enter into buying or selling, getting pre-approved if you need to, and then starting that home search. Those are really the best steps to kind of empower you to make a decision to buy or sell.
Yeah, that makes sense. What are some of the most common mistakes to avoid when you're buying or selling a home?
Yep. We see a lot of buyers who want to think they want to purchase and they just start going to open houses. And I would say you kind of put the cart before the horse,
oh, yeah.
Right? Of course, it's good to see what's out there, but you might fall in love with something you can't afford.
Right.
You might walk into a house, then you want to buy it and you haven't done any of the prep work. And now the house has multiple offers and it's a Saturday and you can't really make it happen and you lose the house. So I would say just jumping into it too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say not working with a realtor that maybe isn't a good fit with you, right? I think we're humans, right? We can intuitively feel in our gut if we like the person we're working with, if we feel like we can trust them.
Right.
So I would say if you get that feeling that it's maybe not the right decision, you know, you can always change, you know? And
right.
It's just like if I go to a doctor and I don't get the service I want, do I keep giving them my business? No, I don't. So just, you know, speaking up for yourself and making sure that you're positioning yourself to work with best and work with somebody you can trust.
Yeah, that makes sense. Even so, what would you say, you know, if I said, I'll throw a one out at you, I want to sell my house on my own. I mean, I know sitting on the other side of the desk in the banking world doing mortgages for clients, a lot of times people would say, well, I'm gonna save the realtor commission and I'm gonna sell it on my own. But what I heard the buyers often say is, hey, I'm buying a for sale by owner. And so I'm going to give them a lower price because they're not paying a commission. Do you think that's still fair? Do people still try to sell their homes on their own? What's your thoughts regarding that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So of course, yes, people still try to, they do still and successfully can sell their house on their own. There's nothing preventing you from selling without a realtor. There is, of course, a savings on the list side if you list by yourself. But I would caution you because a couple things. Number one, a lot of times the buyers who are looking are working with buyer's agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those buyer's agents have an agreement that they'll be compensated. It could be by the seller, it could be by the buyer, right? So they may be looking for a co-broke compensation when they bring the buyer to your property. So you may be paying a commission, right?
Right.
By them bringing the buyer.
Yep.
Also, if that happens and you don't have a realtor, you really have a buyer who has a powerful realtor in their corner that's
mm-hmm.
advocating and negotiating on their behalf, and you don't have that.
Right.
Now, you may have a real estate attorney, or maybe you're doing it on your own and you've bought and sold many times, so you're experienced, but I do think that having kind of someone in your corner to fight for you and advocate for you is valuable. And that, for example, is like through an inspection contingency, right?
Right.
The buyer's agent could you know, really negotiate hard against you because some defects came up. And you might not know how to handle that, right? So getting an offer might be easy. Getting it to closing is not as easy.
That's a good point.
And then also when you look at the savings that you believe you're receiving from not listing with a realtor, typically, right, and when you look at statistics, and I don't have them in front of me, but generally speaking, for sale by owners, sell for less than what that house would have sold for had it actually hit the market.
Right.
Because of the exposure that we give a property when we list it in MLS, because of all the marketing that we do for it. You know, we get it out on all social media sites and all the third-party real estate sites. We use our network of realtors to really get you full exposure. That's going to bring you the most activity and the most buyers to your property. So I do think you sell yourself a little short when you try to sell for sale by owner. Of course, it's a personal decision.
Right. Well, that's one of the advantages of using a realtor as well. So many of them, you just mentioned a few, but one of them is just even just accurately pricing your home. Because if you overprice it and it sits there for a long time, buyers begin to wonder, well, why is it for sale for 3-4 months? I've heard buyers say that a lot. It's been for sale for so long, there's got to be something wrong with it. And so I'm going to lowball them.
Yep.
So even just finding the right price is something that is another a huge advantage of using a realtor.
Yeah, and I'd like to finish by just adding that many people think that in this market, because there's little inventory, you can price your house at whatever you want and it's going to sell. And I'm going to tell you straight out, that's wrong. Because the buyers in this market are extremely savvy, right? They've been looking for 3, 6, 9, 12 months. They've seen all the competition because there's such little to see. And they're very picky.
Right.
And they know they're paying top dollar. So what happens is if you overprice your house, buyers tend to get hesitant.
Right.
And they wait to see if the house gets multiple offers before they'll submit. Because they feel like your price is already too aggressive.
Yeah.
So there's definitely strategy in where you price your house
to
get the most and to sell quickly.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. We'll pick up on that point in just a minute. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Tammy Neiman, Wealth Advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And again, I have my guest, Emily Mattson with First Weber, and we're discussing the spring housing market. So Emily, we were just talking about some really great advantages of working with realtors, but what about first-time homebuyers? I mean, this market sounds challenging. Give me some thoughts regarding first-time homebuyers, how they can be successful.
Yep. First-time buyers are my favorite to work with because they come in with this excitement, right, and energy, and they don't know what to expect, and you get to really help them get from A to Z. And so what I would say for first-time buyers in this market, and I mentioned this last time, but understanding what you can afford and what you're comfortable affording is key, right? And then working with an agent that you trust, right, who can really help you through the market. The third thing would be researching the market a bit, right? So kind of dabbling online, looking at different areas. If you're not from Southeast Wisconsin, perhaps you're, you know, setting up some time to come visit, drive through certain communities, see what they have to offer, right? Even though our Southeast Wisconsin footprint is not that large, right? The suburbs can vary greatly when you go from, you know, Brookfield to Waukesha to Oconomowoc to Cedarburg and Mequon, all the way to downtown, you know, south of the city. Each community has such a different feel. And so just exploring what you're hoping for and finding out where you really want to be is important. Putting together a list of your must-haves, right? And I always tell people, if I could serve you up the perfect house on a silver platter, what would it look like?
Right.
And they give me a list. And a lot of times, if there's a spouse or a partner, they have a different list.
There's a lot more garage space, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or a man cave. Then we blend those lists together and really come up with the priorities, knowing that you're probably going to have to be flexible and compromise on a few things. But tell your agent what the perfect house would be, because our goal is to deliver that to you.
Right.
And we might not always hit every mark, but we're going to try our hardest to. So coming up with that to-do list or that must-have list, and then you would start touring, right? So going to sample some properties in different communities, especially if you don't know where you want to purchase, right? So getting a feel for what your money gets you in any given community. You can do that with showings with your agent. You can attend open houses. It's a good way just to become knowledgeable about the market.
If you go to the open houses, make sure, I'm assuming that they should sign in and say they're working with a realtor.
Yeah, so if you're working with a realtor, you of course can go to open houses, but you want to let your realtor know that you're planning to go. Mm-hmm. And then when you show up, you want to make sure you sign in that you have a realtor that you're working with. That's for two reasons. Number one, if you end up wanting to buy that house, then your realtor can help you purchase it. Mm. If you don't do that, then typically you would need to work with the agent that was there hosting the open house. A lot of times that agent works for the seller or works for that brokerage.
Gotcha.
And maybe isn't representing your best interest.
Gotcha.
Secondly, if you sign in that you're working with an agent, that would prevent the realtor who's there from contacting you. So if you don't want to be solicited by the realtors, that's a good way to prevent that. So once you start looking at houses, hopefully you get to a spot where you're writing an offer. In this market, you're often writing multiple offers. Before you secure that first house. We always strive for it to only be one or two offers, but we have had some clients in the last few years. I think the highest we've written is maybe 9 or 10.
With one client.
Yeah. Now, and that's not that typical right now. I would say, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. But you might have that heartbreak, right? You might have that disappointment. So kind of working through that is hard. What I always tell people is everything happens for a reason.
True.
You might lose that house and be devastated, but then 3 weeks later, a better house in a better location for a similar price pops up. And you're like, thank goodness we didn't buy that house.
Yeah.
So it does always work out, which is hard at the time, but usually it becomes true. Once you have an accepted offer on a house, you want to make sure you have contingencies in the offer that protect you. Now, with the competitiveness in the market, you have to be really strategic with those contingencies, because the more contingencies your offer has, typically the less attractive it is to a seller.
Oh, that makes sense.
Really, so understanding the contingencies that are your non-negotiables, and then how do we craft those contingencies to be most competitive for you, so that if you're up against an offer that doesn't have that contingency, we can, you know, make yours still the winner.
Yeah, that is going to be key, because you're right. Just crafting that offer perfectly is going to really increase your likelihood of success.
Yep. And then as you get an accepted offer and work through those contingencies, obviously you rely on realtor to help you get there. There will be bumps along the way, but typically we get to the closing table and everyone's happy. And the last thing I would just say is to be patient and flexible. You know, you're probably not going to buy a house in 30 days. I mean, it happens, but it does take time. It does take some compromise and some flexibility. Perseverance, I say, is key in this market.
Especially for that one client with nine offers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, every time you write an offer after you've written it multiple times, it's less daunting, because you're just become a pro at it.
Right.
But it's still frustrating.
Of course.
So just coming into it with a mindset of flexibility, patience, perseverance, and you'll be really successful.
That's awesome. What are the first steps a first-time home buyer should do when they're considering to jump into the market?
So again, we touched on this in an earlier segment, but I really think the best first step is to find a trusted realtor who you want to work with, you know, and understanding what that looks like and if there's costs behind that, understanding their experience, making sure they're a good fit for you. And then that person will advise you, you know, to pull in a mortgage consultant. If you've got a local bank that you like, you can go get pre-approved there. But understanding your purchasing power and then kind of jumping into the market when you've made the decision that's right for you.
Yeah. Well, I know from working with you in the past, you do a lot of client engagement. I mean, I love the fact that you are a lot like Ellen Becker Investment Group. So when we work with our clients, we want them to feel like family. Mm-hmm. So we're always doing different seminars and educational events, and we invite them as well as the public to attend any one of those. Mm-hmm. We also do a lot of events throughout the year. Just one of them I know we're doing July 18th is a classic car show.
It's
just
going to
be here.
Exciting.
I know, it's just going to be here in our parking lot, and there's going to be free food and music, and we invite all of our clients to come take a look. Some of our clients have the cars, so they'll be showing the cars. So I'm really excited about that event. And then we're going to do a crafting show closer to the holidays. So we do a lot of events like that. And truly for us, our clients feel like family. Mm-hmm. And we want them to feel welcome at all of our events. I know that you kind of do the same thing. Is there an event that you guys are doing here in the future?
Yep. And as you mentioned, you know, obviously we want to be successful in helping our clients buy and sell real estate. But once they've closed, we don't just drop them, right? They're still incredibly valuable to us. And a lot of times we've built friendships and like that feel like family. So we continue to stay in touch with them. We have a lot of client appreciation events through the years, next month, we're actually hosting a movie day where we rented out the Rivoli Theater in Cedarburg, and we invited families with kids under 10 years old to come and see a kids movie.
Oh, that's
we
fun.
We serve lunch and popcorn and snacks, and it's just kind of fun and casual. We also tend to drop off kind of little pop-bys, we call them. So last month for Valentine's Day, we dropped off Godiva Hearts at 75 clients' houses. Just a little happy Valentine's Day, we're thinking about you. Just little things like that to keep us engaged and let them know we're thinking about them. We have a couple big events that we do every year that are big hits. We have a client appreciation event at the zoo. So we rent out the picnic area at the zoo, have a catered lunch. They can come bring their friends and family, their grandkids, and spend a day at the zoo, which is really great. We also have a very popular Santa brunch where we serve a brunch and have Santa and a photographer, and kids can come and take photos with Santa and avoid the dreaded mall Santa where you have to stand in line and pay $50 for a crummy photo of your kid screaming. So we just try to create this really happy, fun atmosphere where the kids can come see Santa. We've got a couple new things up our sleeve this year that we're working on planning. But, you know, we adore our clients. They are like family to us. They keep our business going, right? And in turn, we also try to help support their businesses by giving back, whether they're local businesses, service providers, whether they have nonprofits, right? We always try to pour our as much as we can into their businesses as well.
Yeah, we do the same. So, Emily, what's the best way to reach you?
Sure, thank you. So again, I'm Emily Mattson. I run Mattson Real Estate Group, which is my team at First Weber. The best way to reach us, if you'd like to talk about real estate, my phone number is 414-530-3645, or you can go to our website to learn more about us. It's www.mattsonrealestategroup.com. We're also all over social media, so if you type in Mattson Real Estate Group on Facebook or Instagram, you'll land on our page and be able to easily connect.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining me today. Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about Ellenbecker Investment Groups or our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or call us at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that I have made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.